again, and this is the topic for today, the hidden role of Krishnamurti. My uncle, Jay Kishore, has often asked, what is the Theosophical Society all about? Is it merely the three stated objectives? And this is where we all know that the real purpose was to prepare the world for a Messiah, which I think which Madame Blavatsky said before her death in 1881, was that the year? 1891, that was the year. And before she died, that's what she said. And that's where Annie Besant and others, you know, Leadbeater and others started looking for the earth vehicle for the Lord. My uncle has asked me this question, saying that, don't try to answer this. He asked, why did she write this just before her death? And if you recall it, you must have read somewhere, Isis Unveiled was sold out completely within 15 days, and when the publisher requested to write a little more about Isis and offered $5,000 at that point of time, in the last quarter of the 19th century, she refused. Although she had no money, not even to buy a passage to India, yet she declined the offer, saying that she was not permitted to reveal more at that time. So this is another point which Jay Kishore had brought my attention to. Not permitted to reveal more. Not permitted by who? Why? These are some of the mysteries to look into. Theosophy becomes a very different subject. Right. The real purpose is to prepare the world for a world teacher. The publisher requested her to unveil a little more, and she declined, saying that she was not permitted to reveal more at that time. This is my question. Does this ring some bell? I'll not answer this question, but perhaps by the time we end our talk today, this will be visible, or should be visible, or attainable. World teacher. Who is a world teacher? I think it is inappropriate for me to tell in this forum what a world teacher really means. Obviously, he's not a run-of-the-mill spiritual teacher. In Theosophy, when we talk of a world teacher, either in the seventh initiation, a bodhisattva or the teacher of the human kingdom, or the eighth initiation, Buddha, who teaches a new chapter from the book of life. A new chapter from the book of life is a new dimension for human consciousness. Right? And the role of a world teacher the role of a world teacher is to enable monadic evolution, that's spiritual evolution. In the upward arc, we all know this. So the question comes, was K a world teacher really? Whom Madame Blavatsky talked about? And he himself has said in his letter, because there were a lot of talks about it, people talking about he being a world teacher, being projected as a world teacher. Then Krishnamurti himself denying, no, I'm not a world teacher. So all those things were coming out in the news. And Lady Emily was worried about it and he wrote, no, Mom, I've never denied it. I've only said it doesn't matter who I am or what I am, but that they should examine what I say, which does not mean that I've denied being a world teacher. In short, it's an admission that yes, I'm the world teacher the world has been looking for. Yes, I'm the world teacher for which Theosophical Society had been set up. And we know this. Evolution in the downward arc and evolution in the upward arc. And we are somewhere here on this human kingdom. Right. So the trigger is, the world teacher provides the trigger to the human kingdom for evolution into the first Dhyan Chauhani kingdom. That's how the understanding goes. I wouldn't say it's a belief, it's an understanding. Because once I mentioned it's a belief and Mr. Chitran Satpati, he corrected me to say, no, we don't believe in things, we understand things. Right. So this is what it is. Now here comes the question, what is it that evolves? Is it you and I who evolve? What is it that evolves? And for that evolution, what is it that enables that evolution? And is a different kind of enabling needed as evolution progresses? That means, today, we are in the fifth root race. Fifth race. Is a different kind of evolution needed for the fifth race as compared to what was needed in the fourth race? That's the question. So there are three things. What is it that evolves? What enables that evolution? And is it different? Is evolution at every point of time different or has a different kind of approach, different need? That enables the human kingdom to develop into the first Dhyan Chauhani kingdom. Right. So the answers are here. What evolves? I'd say the consciousness evolves. It is not only the collective consciousness, but the individual consciousness also evolves. The individual consciousness, which is a part of the collective consciousness, the human kingdom consciousness evolves. What enables it? What specifically? This is where the teacher's role comes in. A teacher enables evolution of consciousness. And is different kind of enabling needed? Yes. Evolution, we all know, is an accelerating process. When you look at the human kingdom, we have what is known as the masses. We have what is known as the people at the top. People who are quite advanced spiritually. So any group, the human kingdom or any kingdom of life, is like a pyramid. It's got a pyramid, it's got a last base, and less people as we go upwards. So when evolution happens, the people who form the majorities, they find it difficult to proceed with the people who are ahead. So they have to drop out of evolution and wait in the interglobe realms to have an opportunity, maybe in the next round or in the next globe. So that is the concept. And when we progress in evolution, not only the number of members with capabilities is more, but the bar is raised from time to time. For example, you're familiar with the moon chain, right? The group I'm talking about, actually my problem is I really don't know who, but I guess all of you must be quite familiar with the schemes of evolution, right? And in our Earth scheme of evolution, the previous chain was the moon chain, with moon, what we see in the skies, being the only physical globe in that chain. We know that. In the moon chain, the bar which was set for human kingdom to the Dhyan Chauhan kingdom was the fourth initiation or the Arhat level, which is presently the Ashrekha level or the fifth initiation. Am I right, sir? Okay. So when evolution progresses, the bar is also raised, which means or implies that the teaching of the world teacher will also be different. That means, although all the spiritual teachers of the past are capable of teaching, but the teachings which are imparted historically at different points of time is necessarily different. Because they have to meet the present challenges. And Krishnamurti himself said he is the world teacher. And let us see what was so special about Krishnamurti. Because the role gets tougher for the teacher, but the outcomes makes the evolution easier for the masses. I skipped a slide, I guess. So, the role of a world teacher is, the world teacher triggers monadic evolution, and the role of the world teacher gets tougher for the teacher, because he has to now awaken a much more higher quality in the human kingdom. But its outcome for the masses, it makes it easier for evolution. Right. How? What a world teacher does is essentially does nurturing and hand-holding. I look at a child. I wish that the child grows up into an adult. But I can't force a child to become an adult by just looking at him or blessing him. The child cannot become an adult by doing the things which I do or you do. You can't. Yet, you need a sort of a hand-holding for the child to grow naturally, and that's what a world teacher does. And we all know that how the root races have developed on Earth, then how the different, say from the third root race has evolved or has come from the third subrace of the previous root race, and the fourth comes from the fourth subrace of the third root race, and so on. At that stage in the Lemurian race, we all know that a very great thing had happened. It was the coming of the Lords of the Flame. It was around 16.5 million years ago. And a great event had happened. And it is described, I just quoted it from the solar system by
Powell's.
With a mighty roar of swift descent from incalculable heights, surrounded by blazing masses of fire, which filled the sky with shooting tongues of flame. I really love his language. Flashed through the aerial spaces, the chariot of the sons of the fire, the lords of the flame from Venus. We all know what sort of wonders the lords of the flame have done for us, because they became our Buddhas, our Bodhisattvas and all those things, avatars of the past. Before Lord Gautama became our first from our scheme of evolution. So what did they do? They provided the spark to link the lower mind with the higher mind. Right. So they linked human consciousness with the consciousness of the ego, which gave birth to conscience. And this intellect is normally evolved in the fifth round. But just because of the lords of the flame in the fourth round itself, we could attain this. Whereas in the fourth round, we are supposed to develop only the will and the desire, which are the emotional qualities. And the human kingdom could develop intellect one complete round ahead of its time, with a number of animals being individualized. Now, this is important. Important because it shows that where and how the role of a teacher can come in. Others. Teachings, you know, like ultimately they have been there. Of course, they did not physically come and hold your hands, but they've been there. So they did take us by millions of years forward. Okay. Now, that magnitude of great work, of course, this is a very different platform. But something similar, not of that magnitude, has been performed by Krishnamurti, according to me. I've called it a fulcrum of some kind. Now, this is a concept which Jagdishore told me. I don't know how to share it, how to explain it, but let me try. But before I talk about this fulcrum thing, let me have a little recap about what has happened in the Atlantean root race, and what differences happened in the Aryan root race. What was the difference between the Atlanteans and the Aryans? When you talk of the third race and the fourth race and the fifth race. This is how the races are evolved. As you can see, from the second subrace, the second root race is born. From the third subrace, the third root race is born, and so on. So it is understood in theosophy that the sixth root race would be born from the sixth subrace of the Aryan race. Here, if you permit me, can I ask you only one question? After that, we can discuss a lot. But the first question is, what is the difference between the fourth and fifth root races? Why do we call it fourth root race and why do we call it fifth? What is the difference? What is characteristically different in the root races?
Yeah.
Mind.
Like the fourth was more focused on emotions and the fifth is more focused on mind. There are four senses in the fourth and five in the
exactly.
Fifth.
Sorry. Each root race gives birth to a new sense. Today we have got five senses. In the fourth race, we had up to four senses. That is number one. And the second thing, which is very important and very, very essential for all of us to know, is the fifth race is about emotion, is about intellect. Up till the fourth race was the race in which we learned the emotional qualities in the human kingdom was evolved. And the fifth race, the intellectual qualities of the human race was evolved. And for that, we all know the amount of trouble which the Manu took when he took the group of Semites from the mountains of North Ruta and brought them to the city of the bridge and kept them in isolation for nearly 30 to 40,000 years. Sending the first group of people out of that to establish the Aryan root race. which became technically, or they became the second sub-race. And then came in 30,000 BC, the second group, the Iranians. Then the Celts, do you call it Celts or Celts?
Celts.
Celts, okay. This is what I'm asking you for.
Celts.
So, the Teutonics, and finally in 18,800 BC, the last and the core group came down to India. That became the first sub-race. Now, it means, it means, at this stage, the sixth root race will be formed from the sixth sub-race. So something new has to be triggered for the sixth sub-race, sixth root race. And what I see is, Krishnamurti is the world teacher who has come to sow the seeds and give the teachings for the sixth sub-race of the fifth root race, because from them, the new quality of the sixth root race will be born. That's how it goes. And this we all know, that if you look at the worlds of nature, you've got the physical world, astral world, mental world, intuitional world, spiritual, monadic, and divine. You're familiar with the new names, or people still talk of the astral plane, mental plane, buddhic plane?
Both.
Okay. But I've just mentioned the new name. Now, if you look at civilized man, you're probably of that order. This is a very approximate, you know, and Arhat will be there. Arhat is the fourth initiation, fifth initiation, sixth initiation, seventh initiation, eighth initiation, and finally, ultimate source of energy in the universe. Okay. Now, this is what I wanted to talk about today. The Atlanteans had the quality of faith. And this quality of faith had been developed over 2 to 3 million years. So, to develop the quality of intellect, which was generally not available in the people, the Manu took this group of people who had the capability or the Semites, because from them the new root race would begin, kept them in isolation and tried to trigger in them the thinking qualities, logical qualities, and intellect. Okay. So, the method to do it was to base it on what they already knew. And what they already knew was belief. So, to trigger a new quality, you need a base. So, for the Atlanteans to the Aryans, what was needed was a base of belief. I'm getting my point. You need a base of belief, and base of belief was the fulcrum needed to trigger the fifth race qualities or the Aryan qualities. So, to trigger intellect, you need the background of faith. Now, please look back and you'll see any religion in the world today begins with faith. That is where people find comfort. They first believe and then they understand. They first believe and then they understand. Understanding is an intellectual quality, reasoning. Right. So, to develop the next quality, the fulcrum needed. You cannot use belief as a fulcrum. You need to use intellect as a fulcrum to open or trigger a new quality. So, if you had seen the worlds of nature, man had a consciousness up to this. Now we have to develop this. To develop this, you need a fulcrum of the mental world to go into this. That is what I mean to say. So, the fulcrum of intellect is needed. And to develop intuitional world consciousness, which, in simple terms, we can say is instant perception, the world teacher, the teacher, whosoever comes, in this case it was Krishnamurti, he began with reasoning and intellect. If you read any of the teachings of Krishnamurti, you'll find that he does not believe, begin with belief in the way we read the Bible, in the way we read the Gitas, where we believe in God or the Supreme Being. And then we look at the reasoning. You see the difference? So, if I was in the, or we were in the Atlantean race, suppose I look at emotion as an x-axis. And we can say that these are gross emotions, and the more further you evolve along that line, you're going into subtle and more refined emotions. Then you'll find that when you evolve from here to here. A person who is far more refined and far more evolved in the initial emotional axis, his line would be here somewhere, right? Now suppose we look at purely as emotions. It is very different from somebody having emotions as well as intellect. If you look at the animal, if you look at the vegetable kingdom, a vegetable kingdom does have emotions. Of course, it's different kind of emotions from the human kingdom. But it is developed in this axis. They don't have that other axis. But if you look at human beings, a person whose emotion is developed to a certain extent, just imagine it as a line. The line can be short, meaning less developed, or it can be long, meaning more developed. Now, the other axis is intellect, which has evolved. Of course, people, even in the Lemurian race, had intellect. We don't say that. I'm talking about the majorities, the triggering thing for the human kingdom. Now, in the fifth race, we have evolved the y-axis. So today the people have, or human kingdom has both x and y-axis, or rather, people have what is known as an area. Now here you can see the challenge of the Manu. Had the Manu continued in the emotional axis, which was there in the Atlantean race, he couldn't have evolved intellect, because that even if you travel further and further along the x-axis, you cannot develop a y-axis. So he had to create something new to develop intellect. Now in this background, now, since you've got an area you know is much more than a line. Look at z-axis as the new quality which is known as intuition, which is nothing but the buddhic plane properties or the intuitional world properties. So by thinking more and more, you cannot create the z-axis. Right. So effort in the x-axis cannot create an area. Similarly, effort in the area or x and y axis cannot create the z axis, which is a volume. Which means that, okay, before that, these are just notional values I'm just mentioning. If you look at the human consciousness as having three dimensions, we all know that one unit of mental is probably say 10 units of astral, see, as a very thumb ruler empirically. Similarly, one unit of buddhi will have some 100 units of mental and so on. And we know that there's a threshold. And once we have the threshold, we know that after a certain threshold, that means after I have certain amount of emotional qualities inside me and intellect inside me, I'm now ready. Similarly, if I have a particular length of emotion with me, I'm ready to acquire this. But once I acquire this, I've passed my threshold value, I have to develop a third dimension, which is intellect. Which means that the more you try to increase the area, you cannot arrive at the volume. That is the reason why Krishnamurti probably did not give any importance to things like knowledge. And theories. Because if you stick to knowledge and theories, you'd be enlarging the area rather than jumping and creating it, creating the volume. So he used the fulcrum of intellect as a springboard to leap into tata. Because in the next dimension, once you have a volume, it is much more than any amount of area you can ever have. Now, how can the next dimension of intelligence comes into being? How will we be able to create the volume? Now, this is where Jay Kishore's consciousness model principles come in. Now, consciousness model principles, I will explain it as three sets of principles. Now, this is something which I haven't found mentioned explicitly in any theosophical book. But it is there implicitly in entire theosophy. And that is consciousness. As far as consciousness is concerned, your consciousness, my consciousness, human consciousness, the first principle of consciousness is consciousness needs a body. That means if I have got a physical body, I can have physical consciousness. If I have got an astral body, I can have astral consciousness. If I have got a mental body, I can have mental consciousness, mental world consciousness. Today, while we are living, all of us have a physical body, an astral body, and a mental body. Right? What happens after we die? We lose our physical body. That is why we don't have physical consciousness anymore. We cannot interact. And you'll also see, if you look into your own lives, you only work in three dimensions, physical, emotional, and mental, not in a fourth dimension. Now what is needed for the sixth race, instant perception, is intuitional world consciousness or the buddhic consciousness. The buddhic consciousness you cannot have until you got a buddhic body. Now, how will you get this? The first, when you recognize that consciousness needs a body, then the consciousness can only rise. Now comes the second principle of consciousness. The first principle of consciousness, as per Jay Kishore, was you need a physical body. You need a body. Second principle is consciousness can rise from a lower body to a higher body or from a lower dimension to a higher dimension only when the activities of the lower dimension has ceased. That means, suppose I'm standing and speaking over here. Something comes and hits my leg. My mind will quickly get diverted to my physical pain because that's my physical body. But suppose nothing has hit me, but something can irritate me. Right? Then I can't think clearly. So which means that only when the lower bodies are completely silenced, only then the consciousness can rise into higher and subtler planes. Right? Which means that if I am able to totally silence my feelings and thoughts, my mind consciousness can float at the highest levels of the body in which I possess. But it cannot break past. Because I don't have a body of the intuitional world. Now comes the third principle of consciousness. The third principle of consciousness says that if you have satisfied principle number 1 and 2, one of course is understood. Principle 2 is everything is silence. That means you have totally silenced your thought. That means total effortlessness. You're not thinking of anything. You're in an absolute meditative state. There's a chance, there's no guarantee, but there's a chance that the bubble can burst. That means you can shatter subatoms of the mental world with the process of fusion, which is the flash which Krishnamurti talks about. And then there's a leap of consciousness into the other. That means, if I continue to do meditation, if I continue to meditate, if I continue to think in a normal pattern, I can never come to a state which is more than the state which I have. That means for that I have to make a leap. And because it's a leap, it's not related to time. It's a bit complicated. I don't know, I'm able to express it or not, I don't know. But it's like a balloon, or it's like a bubble, soap bubble. I keep on blowing. The more I blow, it will become bigger and bigger, but I can't get past it. I have to burst it. And for bursting it, I can burst it if it is small or if it is large. So, the final step happens in a step jump. And in the step jump, the actual technical thing which happens is, if you look at the worlds, if you look at the fundamental atoms of the worlds of nature, you'll find that the physical world atoms, fundamental atoms, are made entirely of matter essence. The astral world atoms are made of a combination of matter essence and spirit essence. In the mental world, the atoms are made as a combination of matter essence and spirit essence, but much more spirit essence than very little matter essence. It's subtler. But in the intuitional world, there's no matter essence. But seven into seven, 49 atoms of the intuitional world, they club together to form a single mental world atom. Which means that if there's a fission action of these mental world atoms, I can break it up into intuitional world atoms. That fission happens when the binding force on the mental world atom ceases. And the binding force ceases when the thought which is binding it into matter is removed. Are you getting this point or not? I don't know. So the thought which is binding the atoms together, when that binding force is removed, the atoms fall apart. And when the atoms fall apart, it is exactly like the atom bomb, you know, like fission action of the atom bomb. They split into two parts. That uranium atom splits into barium atom and I forgot that name. It is smaller atoms. And there's a release of energy as well as light. Even Kay has mentioned exactly the same thing. He says that it happens in a flash. And in that flash, if you read any of those talks he had with David Bohm about ending of time, you'll see that how he says that there's a physical light as well. He has mentioned this, yes, there is a physical light. And that is what the third principle of the consciousness model is all about. It shows that, yes, in theosophy, why Madame Blavatsky was not asked to unveil it a little more was because it would have been too premature at that point of time. She had to leave it for the teacher to take forward the teachings. And the teacher has pointed out the futility of knowledge and thought. The futility of knowledge and thought to bring about the transformation which is needed for the human race. Right? Unfortunately or fortunately, theosophy is the body of knowledge and thought. And K, or Krishnamurti, has actually written a new chapter in the book of theosophy. So that is why when the subject of theosophy came up with Krishnamurti, no, I never said. They have touched upon something very valuable. He's also said that, yes, there are masters. He's also said, yes, initiations happen. No. So it's very difficult to see that how Krishnamurti has actually returned or penned a new chapter in theosophy. And a new chapter in theosophy, he doesn't deny it. He denies, like he says that, see, the quality which you need to develop in you, you have to leave the other quality to develop this new quality. Right. So, the teaching, these are the points which is worth looking at. Does it enable a step jump? Does it create a new body? If it enables a step jump, if it flashes, of course you have a new body. New body means you have got those atoms from which the bodies begin. How do you think the transition happens from the vegetable kingdom to the animal kingdom? Vegetable kingdom, what happens is a tree, when it becomes more and more mature, or the higher, see, you take the oak, you take the peepal tree. So it becomes more and more acquainted with emotions. Then it starts feeling the emotions much more distinctly. The trees, advanced trees, like the peepal and the oak, things like that. And then what happens? It distinctly senses or recognizes emotion. And that's the shattering which happens, which creates the mental world atoms for the tree, which in turn becomes the next stepping stone into the animal kingdom. I don't know how much you all have gone into all these things, but that is how the new body is created. So we also need a new body. And was that the kind of role of Krishnamurti? That is what I'm trying to ask. And this is what I say. If you understand this, because we had too little time today, I want to keep some time for our questions and answers. But if you look at K, he's actually written a new chapter in the book of Theosophy. So, I've tried to finish it before 8, so that we can have a few questions. But it is extremely complicated to see that K has intentionally worked upon a quality to ignite a new capability in the human kingdom. Earlier, we had things like voice of silence, we had light on the path and things like that to take us forward. What has K taught is a faster and easier method to burst the bubble. Because unless the consciousness takes a mighty leap, it cannot happen. Right. So K was trying to ignite a new kind of intelligence in man. So far we had the physical world consciousness, astral world consciousness, mental world consciousness. He tried to trigger what we can say as the Buddhic consciousness in man. Sorry, it was a very, very technical talk, but please, sir, any questions you can, or I don't know how much you've been able to grasp on this, because I was talking of a very, very difficult matter. Please.
You had that chart, the X and the Y axis, and as the mental and the emotional developed,
yes,
that area,
yep,
was that area, the sum is the development of the Buddhic?
Not
so
the two axes.
Z is not the same as that area which is developed as the X and the Y are forming a relationship.
X and Y, I can get an area.
Yes.
However large I make the area, I can never get a volume. However large, even if I become a genius and a super genius, I'll have tremendous mental capabilities. If I become, I get lost in my devotions and emotions. Like, if you come to any of this Krishna consciousness movement people, you'll find that they're swooning with faith. You'll have a very large astral line. So the area will become larger and larger.
But you have the intuition as one of the axes also. What's the relationship then?
It is
that intuition has with the other two.
Exactly.
That is irrelevant.
Yeah. Let's begin with this. Let's begin with astral. Astral is a single line, one direction, of one kind of intelligence.
That was the X.
X. Mm-hmm. But only with one kind of intelligence, you cannot develop an area. So you require another intelligence, which is quite different from astral intelligence. So I break it into a second axis. I call it Y-axis, mental. Because the nature of mental intelligence is very difficult from emotional intelligence. But I could not have acquired that mental intelligence by going more and more towards astral. Agreed? Similarly, with mental and astral, I cannot make a third dimension of intelligence, which is intuitional, because intuitional intelligence is very different in nature compared to emotional intelligence or intellectual intelligence.
So you're saying the two are not related to the development of the intuitional?
Exactly.
From
exactly.
The diagram, it looks like it's...
I've tried to explain.
It's very related.
Just a minute. Wait.
Even
this
in cube, you have intuition as one of the axes.
No, this axis,
mm-hmm.
Says Z axis.
So that's not related at all.
Today we don't have this.
Okay. It's
today we have
separate.
Got this and this. So today we have got this and this. So one of us may be small. He may have a huge value. He may have a large area because his mind is very advanced.
May I ask another thing while we're holding on to that thought? Then you had the bubble, and you said that's outside of time. The bubble can be this small, it can be this big. And it's kind of saying what you're saying here, it doesn't matter. But it's still matter. And it's a development of a matter, and then it has to be released. So is there nothing in terms of the quality of the matter itself? Because it is still matter. Matter matters. Even if it means that it's completely released, there's still a quality of that matter. You're saying that it doesn't matter.
You don't matter. You know why? Look, she asked a very interesting question. Again, I have to answer it in a very scientific manner or a conceptual manner. Atom. I'm talking of fundamental atoms of the worlds of nature. The fundamental atoms of the worlds of nature has a mixture of matter essence and spirit essence. Right? In the physical world, it is entirely matter essence. But when we go to the astral world and the mental world, the percentage of matter essence reduces and the percentage of spirit essence increases. Up to this is all right. Now the next kind of atom is the intuitional world atom. Intuitional world atom, you will realize, is 100% spirit essence and 0% matter essence. Now I've got a body. The body which I have today is physical body, astral body, mental body. I don't have an intuitional world body. That means I don't have my sixth principle. If you talk of the seven principles of man, although essentially we are supposed to have the seven principles, my sixth principle and seventh principles are not ignited or not activated. It's as good as saying that I don't have a body for that. And it's of course going to be a formless body because anything in the buddhic plane is non-material. So it has to be formless. Up till the astral physical body, astral body and mental body, they are forms which are also bodies. But the buddhic body is a formless body. Now in that formless body has to be created out of the atoms. That formless atom or the spirit essence atom has to be formed from the matter essence atoms of the mental world. Now, when a fission happens, what happens in physics? In physics, what happens is there is something called as a defect mass. Defect mass means when a large atom splits into two parts, although the atomic numbers remain the same, if you weigh the masses or if you calculate the masses, there's a small mass which is lost, and that mass is converted into energy. In a similar way, when we think or we loosen our grip on the mental world atom, the mental world atom splits. And when the mental world atom splits, it creates intuitional world atom, and that physical or that matter essence part of the mental world atom, that's the part which releases heat and light and energy, which Krishnamurti has explained, it is physical light and a physical plane also. Yeah.
Okay, so outside the science explanation that you've given, wouldn't it be what we talk about, purification and transformation of those mental atoms or the mental matter into something that's subtler, and from that subtle mental matter, then we get the matter from which we make the body for the Buddha nature.
That is what I'm saying.
Right.
I'm not saying anything different from what you said just now, but I was explaining you the science of the splitting of the atom.
Right.
And the science of the splitting of the atom can happen how? In physics, it happens when I bombard a neutron into a uranium isotope. But in the human science or the human body or the body of nature, the splitting happens when the force which is holding the atoms tight is released. And the force which is holding any group of atoms tight is the self of man, our consciousness. Our consciousness is focused upon the I. Because our consciousness is focused upon the I, the atoms are held in place and bound together by the I. Now when that is released...
So you're saying in the silence of meditation...
Exactly.
That's when it's released.
But I talked of it more as a physics and a chemistry, sorry.
No, that was good.
Yeah, please.
You also said earlier that no matter how much we would meditate, it would not take us to a deep that's necessary.
Yes, I said that.
I understand when you say that Krishnamurti definitely, in his own way, which started when he was 14 years old, and at the feet of the Master, he says it. Love and do as you will. It's the love factor that made the leap. So there are many ways to explain that leap. I agree with you in that. But the fact, and you say that Krishnamurti created a new chapter in theosophy, I don't understand that part.
Sure.
Because I think theosophy is all-encompassing. It is infinitely profound. It's the ageless wisdom. And so there's no new chapter there. It's just how we interpret it. If we make it scientific, science is changing their mind every day. But if we understand what he means by love and do as you will, I think you have the answer right there. And he was only 14 years old. He learned it from the Master K.H.
I would put it slightly differently. I agree with you. What Krishnamurti, when I say that he has opened a new chapter, that new chapter is there in theosophy right now, but not visible. It's not visible. It's not explicitly visible. As explicitly to say that, leave knowledge. And you have this.
I don't understand what you just said.
Leave knowledge. Leave knowledge means, today we are gripped with knowledge. We think that the end is through knowledge. Knowledge.
Everybody does. Not
yeah, that's what we think. We think that. That's what. That is where Krishnamurti deviates, changes. Knowledge is the product of human mind or intellectual intelligence. So if you want to arouse a new kind of intelligence, we should not be propagating intellectual intelligence. Rather, we should be allowing the intellectual intelligence to remain. Not that it is not needed. Yes, it is needed. But look in a different direction. In that sense, I said, he has opened a new chapter, which is our, yes.
Yeah, just for, like, in the historical framework, HPV was teaching that step, the step of, she would say, you know, you in meditation, you use your mind to the best way that you can, and then you stop all mental activity, and then you go beyond. And she would teach the methods in the inner group teachings that was part of the esoteric school. And there she said there are three levels of consciousness, the reaction, conditioned reaction, the will, and then what she called spiritual self-perception, which is, when she talks, is when you are paying attention to the perception, not thinking, which would be similar to Krishnaji's, you know, silent awareness. So I think what he did was to bring that up to everybody and talk for 50 years about that. Teachings that were given, as you said, Blavatsky said, I'm not permitted to give this to the world at large. So she was doing it in the inner group. And Besant also, there are several writings where she talks about how to leave the thought. They would call it contemplation. You meditate, you leave the thought quiet, and then something else may happen. So I think a new chapter could be interpreted in that way, in the way of putting emphasis on this and bringing it to everybody. That's how I would interpret it.
You said something you want? Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I had a question also about that new chapter, because the idea of meditation has always been there, and it has always been about quieting the mind, you know. At some point you have to drop it, and that teaching has always been there, and probably what Krishnaji did was to emphasize that stage of it, but not necessarily that it's a new chapter, because the Buddha was teaching the same thing, and the Buddha quality is also involves that compassion, which the Buddha taught, many centuries ago. So I thought that maybe what Krishnaji did was to emphasize that stage of the quieting of the mind, although it's not new. I mean, all meditation practice is about that.
One small thing here. If you don't mind, sir. It's a very interesting point she put up. See, what Krishnaji said has been said by the Buddha. When you talk of vipassana, it's already there. Even the Christ also said the same thing. Coming to compassion, they all had. Without compassion, you can't go a step forward. But when we look at meditation, it's known. When we sit down to meditate, we do it as an act. So and so time I will sit down for meditation. Things are fine. I create a vacuum in my mind. The moment I end my meditation, the vacuum is filled again back with rushing air. So many people have found meditation to be quite difficult. So case suggests, just look at it. Coming to the new chapter, he's taught exactly the same things, but the difference is, he's not focused upon the thought part of it. He has said that ignore the thought part of it. Look at it, observe it, become aware, which is same as Buddha's Vipassana. Nothing, no different. But he's given a greater emphasis, that's it. And the new chapter can be construed or looked upon this way, that He's not discarded theosophy. He says, yes, it is there. But look here. There's a subtlety there which has remained unexplored, probably. The thought, if please look at it this way, the thought that there's a mental world atom. And if I leave my grip on the mental world atom, that atom automatically frees itself. And when it frees itself, it releases heat and light and energy, which Buddha never talked of. That's the difference. Buddha had talked of the Noble Truths and Eightfold Path. But Krishnamurti says, no. The reason is, the Buddha was using the fulcrum of faith to ignite intellect. Because technically he belonged as a Buddha of the fifth root race. Right. K, in this case, is doing the next step. Of course, the Buddha is the teacher of K too. That's a different story. Although both of them, whether you look at Lord Maitreya and Gautama, Lord Gautama as friends from the second chain and all, leave that aside. But still then, not that Buddha did not know. But the point at which he came into the world, his role in the world was to trigger intellect. And he was doing the end part of it after Manu had done all the work. But here in case of K, he's triggering the next step. That is where he's different.
Yeah, I think it's what you said, that, I mean, the teachings are there, but what is emphasized depends on the stage of evolution that
exactly,
is needed.
Exactly.
Because even Patanjali, you know, citta vritti nirodha, so mm-hmm. you stop the functioning of the mind, and that was taught not in the regular Hindu religion, it was taught only to the yogis by the guru and the disciple. So we can trace the teachings everywhere, but I agree, as you say, the difference is, okay, now this is the next step, this becomes the main focus.
Yes.
And that's probably, you know, what we consider.
Right, and from that next step, or the step that they're talking, that's not the step when you enter theosophy. That's not where you are right from the beginning. So we happen to be a room full of people who have studied theosophy for a very long time. So what he's saying is kind of like second nature. I already know that. That's how I meditate, or that's how I live my life. But as a beginning or middle theosophist, you know, that's not implicit.
Yeah. Because
explicit.
You see what problem I see. Well, you know, I love Krishnaji, and my main practice is very, very influenced a lot by him. But I remember when I started trying to watch my thoughts and my emotions in the way that he would say, without, you know, justification, without condemnation, with love, that love was brought up, as you look a child, as you look a flower. I would try to do that, and my mind was all over the place. I couldn't sustain my attention in that very special kind of awareness where you don't get entangled with all of that. And I realized in my life, so I sat in front of a tree, and I couldn't do that even with a tree. I couldn't hold my attention to a tree. So I realized, if I don't have this skill, the skill to just place my attention without wavering on an object like a tree, how can I do it with my emotions or thoughts? So I realized that I had to practice concentration that Krishnaji seems not to recommend to practice. It was just a mechanical skill. And once I did that, once I learned how to put my attention, place my attention softly on something, then I could watch my emotions, as he said. So in my experience, I don't see it as this is the negation of this, because many people who talk about these teachings, they cannot do it. And I think it is because there is no a certain preparation. So the way I see it is that there is a continuation there. He brought a lot of light on this particular step. But in practical terms, in my life at least, I see that I need the whole. Of course, as you say, if I stay only in the concentration, I will never go to the silent perception. But if we know the whole trip, the whole map, and we go in that direction, in my life at least the preliminary steps were necessary. I don't know if that's also your experience.
That's why you thought mindful, attention, what do they call it? Choiceless awareness. Yeah. Isn't that the same as your concentration?
But my question is, why are you concerned about putting your mind in order to be able to concentrate on anything? Why didn't you simply watch and allow the mind to drift and be conscious that you're drifting?
No. That I've done that for years, and it goes and goes and goes, and all of a sudden I'm not even conscious of where it's going. So for me, it is a skill. It is a skill that I need to practice before I can get to what Kay says. So
I experience.
So you want to experience something?
No.
You want to know that you're in the right track?
No.
It's just that, can you watch your thoughts and emotions as they come without justification or condemnation, with a sense of love, without a sense of, the answer was, I can't. I start, and then I'm entangled with that. And then I may realize it for a second, and I get entangled again. And in my experience, then I said, can I do this not with my thoughts? Can I do this with anything in the world? And my mind didn't have the ability to just watch silently without naming, etc. So, you know, I spent a few years working on learning to pay attention. And then all that Krishnaji talks in the books, I could experience.
Then it falls.
Not because I was seeking the experience. I was trying to do what he said, you know, try this. So I see that one problem with his teachings, when it is in, because he would say, have you ever tried this? Have you ever sit in front of a tree? But when we interpret that he doesn't recommend any kind of practice, I see that there is a gap that very few people cross. You know, from here to there, in my experience, the people that I meet, very few have experienced the power of that silent awareness and how it puts order by itself with no will involved. But for that to happen, I had to generate certain preparation. So that is,
you know,
how
I would use the example real quick, and then we'll finish up. I would use the example as there are some people who come into this world and are genius at piano playing or sports or art, and they just do it effortlessly from the beginning. But the majority of us need to learn those skills before we get to that point where we can do it effortlessly. That's how I would look at it.
Yeah, that's how we all have been doing things. The question is it worth looking at that there could be a different way to?
Oh, yes, definitely.
That's all.
Definitely.
That's all.
For
definitely.
Us, it's hard. But what about two generations from now?
Right.
Maybe, or our kids.
Yeah, right.
They're already kind of, they get it.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, we could ask, is it actually working? Are people who study Krishnaji's teachings actually able to do this or not? You know, what is actually happening, not what could happen. And then see, okay, is there anything that can be done to facilitate in ourselves and others to experience what he says?
Whatever we are doing just now, our discussions, our thoughts, our intellectual analysis of the situation, aren't we only in the X and Y axis?
Not if we're doing it in a different way. When we have our study groups,
No, I'm not denying that. Wasn't this what Krishnaji himself did? He always started, he never jumped to silent. He would always start examining the situation, and he would say in some lectures, you first examine very carefully. And he would go and examine until little by little he would see how the movement of thought itself is a limitation or is conditioned. But he would always start with the examination.
Do you think he examined it linearly? That means first looking at this, then this. That means did he move in the field of time?
No.
Or was it something different?
No, I think what we are doing now, we are inquiring in a similar way. We are trying to look.
He
we are not talking from...
Skilled.
Yeah, we are not looking from a conclusion to arrive at a conclusion. We are asking, is this working? Is this possible?
That is all right. Perfectly right.
Okay,
yes.
1 minute. Jim,
yes, H.P.B. one time said that she felt that artists were often further along in the spiritual path than occultists were. And it's because they're developing intuition in their practice. I taught beginning figure drawing for a while, and the students would come in and start drawing, but they would draw what they thought a hand was supposed to look like, not what was actually in front of them. And it takes a long time for them to release those ideas of how things, how they've been taught that things are, to what they really are. And so that's an important skill they develop. And then they also developed tremendous powers of concentration, but also with the sense of joy and awe at the same time. So that there is a releasing, a freeing of the mind. For intuition to flow in. So that's what I wanted to say.
Yes, sir. I just have two questions, but I leave with the first one for the next lecture. And I ask you this. At the end of his life, in the diary, Krishnamurti say, somebody used this body very well for 70 years. I mean, his body, his mind. But also, at the end, he say, like, no many understood me. And here we are, with all these arguments, like, we still do what Krishnamurti, go from one point to another, to another, and then he say, save. You understand reincarnation? Mm-hmm. And he continue, like he never get to the end.
So what was he doing? The interesting part is, whenever Krishnamurti worked on, first of all, I'll come to your reference. He said that people do not know what sort of energy passed through this body for 70 years. It was like a 12-cylinder engine. Mm-hmm. And then he said, you won't get a body like this for the next 400 years.
Fine.
And so on and so forth. Let's leave that aside because he was talking about the force or the energy which came through him. The thing to realize about Krishnamurti's teaching is he does not conclude. He does not take you to a conclusion. He takes you to an edge and leaves you. That's the trigger which he provided to us. So far, whatever we have been doing, we know our method, we know that I have to do this, I have to sit down like this, I get this benefit. That's what all of our methods are all about. In his case, he logically explains a point, and then we want the next, what comes next, okay, then what, sir, then what do? He leaves it. That means he was trying to push us down a cliff. He says, let's take the step, or you go to the point of not knowing. You keep questioning yourself till you reach the point of not knowing and leave it there. That is what the whole teaching is about. Right? And all our efforts, whether I call it choiceless awareness, this awareness, that awareness, it's basically playing with my own thoughts and own mind once again. But again, when I look at your point, you know, like you talked about concentration. Concentration is focus, and what Krishnamurti talked about is just the opposite of concentration. That's where the fundamental difference comes. Anyway.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
appreciate this. So thank you. I gave Nadini one of a book for you. And
ooh,
so thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, great.
Two books. So share it in the family.
Sure.
Okay.
Would you like to get the copy of Flowering? Here? Flowering, do we have?
Maybe the car, I will get it.
I think, sir, one thing we can do. Oh, just 2 minutes. We'll get something from the car, which you can have.
Okay.
It's a way, because you said that in case of Krishnamurti, how is he different?
Right.
Now, there's a booklet which has been published by one of our centers. I think we can share that with all. We just read it. It's a small booklet.
We have a library. We can leave it here in the library.
Yeah, you can give one to each of them. Plus, you can have one in the library.
Oh, that
you don't have to buy it.
Okay.
So it's all right.
Okay. A parting gift. Thank you for coming out on this Thursday night and making our little experiment. I thought this was very fruitful.
So the booklet which is going to bring, these are some of the thoughts of some members. And we don't say that the thought is necessarily right or wrong. They're thoughts. We're just sharing the thoughts with you, that's all.
Okay.
Because, actually, just think over these things again, please. Whether he's actually expanded theosophy or not.
That's a good title for a book.
Think on these things.
Because in a short time, you know, it's very difficult to explain the dimensions of intelligence.
We can stay.
Oh, no.
And the very idea that it is essentially atoms. It is essentially atoms from which our body is made. And whatever we possess as our body is my consciousness. Or my consciousness cannot expand beyond the capabilities of my body. Now, those atoms are held in place tightly as mental world atoms because of the force I apply on each atom. And the force I apply is because of that I, which is applying it. When I remove that force, there's nothing to bind those matter anymore. It splits.
That was a nice visualization.
And when it splits, that is when you get an intuitional world body. That's what the consciousness model is all about. And K rightly says that there's a flash of light as well. Huge energy release together with light, which can only happen in a fission reaction. Please.
Our party favors.
Yep. But these are some thoughts.
I have a number of them.
All right.
Actually, if you can read my book, you know, he's opened a new chapter. Mm. You can see this website. Can you note down?
Yeah, and you gave your book to the library, so I'll read it.
Which one?
No. You said that you gave your book to the library
right
there.
Yeah.
So I'll read it. No. I think Nandini said that you left one of your books in the library.
I had sent it through her. I don't know whether it's still there or not.
So what website did you want?
It is this. You can just note it down. You know, I'll just tell you. It is.
No other goodies for you,
Take it.
Krishnamurti book.
I took a picture of it.
No, this has got 3 parts. This has got 3 parts.
Let me.
I'll message you. I'll send you a message. Can you give me your number, please?
Yeah, it's plus one.
And you have my number.
Yeah.
Is that WhatsApp?
Yeah. Now what I'll do is I'll first say this. Now what I'll do is I'll send you a WhatsApp message.
All right.
Maybe they have a gap. That was the time when there was
So let me do another thing. Let me send you a text message.
Yeah, that would be finished.
He said he would rather not celebrate this Sunday.